Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batchelor with the historian Nick Bonker. The new book is In the Shadow of Fear, America and the World in 1950. Joseph Stalin is the absolute authority of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Empire can be thought of as imperialism. Joseph Stalin has ambitions in Asia. One of those ambitions is the People's Republic of China. Mao has very little, no air force, no money, no dollars, no cash. He needs Stalin's sponsorship. And what that means is he needs to go to Moscow. Nick, at this point, it becomes extremely mysterious to figure out Stalin one more time. If it was confounding during the Second War, it was tragic during the 1930s. Stalin and Mao, you present us several scenes of them dealing with each other in Moscow after Mao is finally gets the invitation and travels there by train. What can we understand now about what Stalin wanted from Mao? Did he see him as a temporary tool? Did he see him as somebody who was obedient, like, say, the Eastern European leaders? How did he regard him?
Well, fortunately, we know quite a lot about this now because the Soviet archives were opened during the 1990s. Now, under Mr. Putin recently, they appear to have been largely closed again. But there was a period when the Soviet archives were available to historians. So a great deal of work has been done on this subject. Now, what Mao wanted, as you said, was obviously support for his economy. He needed support to build an air force. He was thinking at this stage, for example, of possibly invading Taiwan, and he would have required Russian help to do that. There are all kinds of things that Mao wanted. And above all, he wanted to be recognized as almost an equal to Stalin. He wanted to be recognized as the kind of joint leader of the communist world. Now, Stalin's situation was rather different. Stalin was a very wary, cautious, suspicious character. He had known about Mao for a long time because Stalin had taken a very close interest in Chinese affairs right back into the 1920s. Stalin had been involved intimately in the affairs of the Chinese Communist Party and in matters in China right back to circa 1925, 1926. So he knew a great deal about Mao, but he wasn't quite sure what he should do, what kind of relationship she should have with Mao. And the impression, I guess, is that he wanted to make sure that Mao recognized his kind of junior and subordinate role in this relationship. Now, there were certain things that Stalin definitely did want. For example, he wanted to see certain parts of China industrialized. He wanted them to become like the Soviet Union. He wanted to see them become an industrialized power, which would lend weight to communism in its struggle against the West. He was also at this time, Stalin also had some hopes that, for example, there might be a communist uprising in Japan. That was an issue for him. He was also determined to ensure the security of the Soviet Far East. Stalin was always worried about that. Stalin was always worried about that the Soviet Far East, the Far East of Siberia, would become exposed in the event of any future conflict. So Stalin had a kind of number of different motivations. What happened was that Mao came to Moscow, and then the two men had a number of meetings. And during those early meetings, Stalin was really very difficult, very distant with Mao. He wanted to put Mao in his place. And it wasn't until January 1950 that there was a kind of a breakthrough in which Stalin eventually was prepared to give Mao much of what he wanted.
Mao is extremely sensitive about how he's being treated, but he doesn't leave. He meets with representatives from Stalin. Stalin parks him in a dacha in wintertime. Mao is ill, I learned from you. Something like emphysema. It was a very heavy smoker, and the medicos in Moscow help him mend. However, it's very difficult to see at this point what Stalin has in mind for Mao. I puzzle. Did he think of him as competent or lucky? Stalin was a very well-read man and shaped opinions a lot from his reading. Did he compare Mao to anybody?
I don't think he compared Mao to anyone, but there was a tendency in the Soviet Union, among the upper ranks of the Communist Party, to regard Mao as kind of a simple kind of peasant character. And they didn't really have an enormous amount of respect for him. But gradually, during this period in Moscow, Stalin appears to have come to the view that that was someone he could trust, somebody he could work with. There was also a very other important little development, which is often forgotten, which was what the United Kingdom did. Great Britain was one of the first countries to recognize the People's Republic of China as the legitimate regime in China. The British were one of the first to give diplomatic recognition to China, and they did that very early in January 1950. And that was quite important, because once the British had done that, Stalin, I think, really felt that he had to reach out to Mao. He had to come to terms with him. He didn't want to see Mao being somehow or other seduced by the capitalist West. So that British decision to recognize China, which, by the way, was very controversial in America. Americans were very unhappy with Britain doing that. Britain had its own reasons for doing so, but that was quite an important moment. In addition to that, what's quite clear, I think, is that Stalin honestly believed that there were very strong prospects of a continuing communist struggle in Asia, which would greatly strengthen the communist world. For example, of course, there was a civil war going on. There was war going on in Vietnam. The Vietnamese Communist Party, and Ho Chi Minh was making great progress against the French. There were communist uprisings in Malaya, which was a British possession at the time. There were communist uprisings in other parts of Asia. And there was the possibility, of course, of an uprising in Japan. And for all these reasons, Mao saw Asia as the key to the future. And if that was true, he really had to work with Mao.
The book is In the Shadow of Fear, America and the World in 1950. Nick Bunker is the author. Time for the Republicans. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.